on digital radio, on the app, on your smart TV, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Basketball in March.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
Welcome to the Sportscast, March 11th, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can also go to our website, thesportscast.net, and see the latest on news. And also, you could follow us on X and Instagram at the Sportscast One. Check out our app, the Sportscast, for iOS. I was out for a week, but a lot going on in sports. We got the Champions League. We got Liverpool drawing Man City, maybe one of the best matches. But I'm a Liverpool supporter, so it might have looked at, like, as the greatest game. But we got Hal Phillips with the sniffles. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santi. I'm in pretty good fighting shape, and you are completely in fighting shape. We're ready to go.
I am. A week ago, I was out of it. I cannot do the show. I was sick, and I'm feeling like 100% today. Like, this past couple of days, like, you know, 95% good, but now I'm feeling like it's the old me again.
All right. Well, 95% of you is better than most 100%, so we're good to go.
We're good to go. All right, so we'll talk about first the match of the weekend, I thought. Liverpool drawing Manchester City 1-1. I thought it was one of the best matches. How Man City went up a goal through a goal by John Stones, and then Liverpool drew it through a penalty by McAllister, and it felt more of a Liverpool offense a little bit, like they were going at the goal. And Haaland, I didn't see much of him. Yes, he had a few opportunities.
Yeah,
but I want to hear your thoughts over the best match of the weekend.
I thought it was really interesting to see a team other than Tottenham going at Man City toe-to-toe. It's just not that often that you see a club take it to them and trade punches as opposed to falling back and trying to play them on the counter, which I don't think works. They just pick you apart. Unlike Tottenham, they play hugely well when they have two banks of four backed up to the top of their own box. So Liverpool played a really good match. And I thought the most surprising part was, Haaland really had no impact on the match. He had a few chances. But Liverpool created chances throughout without Salah, depending on two or three guys whose numbers, they look like tight ends. I know who they are now. You probably know them better because they debuted in that Chelsea League Cup final late in the game. But geez, these kids played really well. And frankly, Liverpool was unlucky not to get a penalty in the last 2 minutes of regulation. They could have gone to the spot to win 2-1. I think 1-1, though, Santi, I think we can agree that was a fair result. You may not have liked it, but it was fair.
Yeah, very fair result. Now the Premier League table is actually a little bit tight now. We got Arsenal up top, for number one. They are tied with 64 points, but Arsenal has a goal difference advantage. And then you got Manchester City at third place, which is 1 point behind the Liverpool and Arsenal at 63 points. Aston Villa, 55 points. And Tottenham, who beat Aston Villa, is at 53 points in the table. This is a race. There's only 10 matches left. How, where do you see it going? I mean, you're seeing Man City going to win it. Like, where do you see this going?
I don't know. And I think that is just fine. That's why we watch. Every one of these teams is going to play each other, except for Man City and Liverpool. They're done. But everyone's going to get a crack at Arsenal. And it's going to be fascinating to see how it all shakes out. Arsenal looks good. They just crush teams. I tune in sometimes via my favorite Gizmo, the key plays function on my YouTube TV, and I watch the highlights of an Arsenal game against Sheffield or Brentford, and it's 4-0 in the first half, and I turn it off. I mean, they're killing teams. I want to see them play Man City. I want to see them play Tottenham. I want to see them play Liverpool and see where the chips fall. But at least now these games are going to decide the league championship, whereas in the past, the inclination, or at least the temptation, is to say, oh, well, it's over now in February. Man City is clear and no one's going to catch him. We're not there. And that's great because, you know, that's the way it is a lot of the time in a lot of leagues. And it's unusual now to see such a close race. We should revel in it and not spend too much time talking about who we think is going to win. I have a hard time seeing Liverpool pulling what they did off again against Arsenal, against Tottenham. I thought they had a great sort of tactical setup. They got away with playing some young guys. Their second keeper played very, very well, and Man City had to go to their second keeper too. It had everything, but man, I thought they were unlucky not to get a goal to win the game, but I thought they were lucky to get the 1-1 result when I look at who they actually played against the holders.
Yeah, there was a penalty situation for Liverpool when Toku high-kicked McAllister towards the end. What I've heard from the commentators all over the world that it's not good for the officials to call penalty at the last moments of the match. Do you agree with that? I mean, is that... It wouldn't be fair, I guess.
that is human nature to say, as a referee, I don't want to decide who's going to win this match. And I know that any decent referee does say that. And that is a sound bit of logic. But when someone has a boot up near someone's face and they actually cleat the dude in the chest, that's pretty blatant. I think the better question, or the more revealing question, is, if that had been the 43rd minute, would they have called it? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah,
but
probably.
Geez, how do you also give a team like Liverpool the victory, or hand it to them, essentially, when they can't score a goal from open play? I mean, what was their best chance from open play?
For Liverpool? Not really much, to be honest. I think Luis Diaz had one. It was one-on-one with the keeper, I believe.
Yes.
But then he had like a bad shot. It was horrible.
And Nunez streaked in for a while. It's amazing. I heard Salah talking about it. It's amazing to think about Nunez, the player. Salah came on in this game for, 20 minutes at the end? Was pretty ineffectual.
Yeah, one good pass to Luis Diaz. That's it.
Yes. But, you know, he didn't do anything himself. But they got him back in the mix. But Nunez is such an incredibly interesting player. The dude really does not care if the ball's at his feet. He only cares that he runs onto it and it's at his feet in the box and he'll take a whack at goal. It's a fascinating striker. And there's really so many different kinds of strikers who can be effective for you. Diaz is another one who really... I thought he was the man of the match for me. He was constantly dangerous. We're not talking very much about Man City. We expect them to do all these things so well, but they had to fight and grind for every match. Oh, there's the thing. Yeah, I'm sorry. That is a penalty.
That's straight up. Yeah.
It's not even like you're lifting up your shoe and the leather part of your shoe grazes or hits an opponent. Those are the cleats. That is studs up. Times 10. He's very, very fortunate that he didn't cost his team the game.
AYSO would have called that a penalty for sure. I know that. I remember playing that. You remember that one play in World Cup 2010, Hal, when Clint Dempsey shouldered he elbowed a player while they're trying to head a ball?
Yeah.
And he could have got a red, and he didn't. Yeah. So this kind of reminded me of this play a little bit. As Hal said, Man City didn't have much going on. That goal that it did from the corner, I thought was really clever. It was smart. It was like a practice scrimmage type of play, wasn't it?
It was. It was sort of a near post header, and those are very difficult to defend, especially when you've got a 6'4" guy running at that near post. That's the one side of things, but the other side is that if it's coming. if you can see it, or you've watched any film at all, and you know they like to run near post corners, they can be defended and they can be sort of neutralized. Of course, you're covering yourself up, you know, behind you. And all these teams are playing zonal marking schemes, which makes it very difficult to let a guy to mark a guy that you're just used to sort of letting run through and let the next guy get him. I don't understand the zonal marking defense with guys at this level. As an old defender, I think you got to mark up and grab the guy and never let go, so you can at least contest that. But you know, they had some chances, but you know, you think back to the games that I've watched recently. Then De Bruyne was fine, but not that dangerous. Foden is just a menace, and he didn't do much. Doku did hit the post, late in that game. Now that I'm remembering, and he's always a threat.
I could have gone in, Hal.
Oh yes, oh yes. And then they also Kelleher, the goalie, made an amazing save at some point from a tight angle that I'm remembering. But you know, 1-1 was a very fair result. I think we should all thank the Lord that it happened, because now we're really set up for an incredible run in over these last two games. Which, let's be fair, more than 25% of the season still remaining. Tons can happen, but this was the first shoe to drop. All the other real contenders, and I don't consider Villa or Tottenham a contender, they're all playing each other from here on in. So it's a great setup. The Premier League should get credit for their scheduling. It's all there to play for in March and April.
Yes, one big match this month that it will be played in 2 weeks is Arsenal versus Man City. I think that will have a lot of play, a lot of stake. Arsenal's been killing it too, by the way.
Totally, and they have to travel to Tottenham, however, to play the North London Derby, and that,
which is not easy.
Not easy. Tottenham really wants that game themselves. They play the best teams very, very well. I'm a Tottenham guy. I know I'm biased, but they do. They knock it around with anybody in the world, and they really outclassed Villa, who had been, well, I can't say they've been surging. They've been sort of mezza in 2023, but I think Tottenham will pass them. They've just got more class.
Yeah. Now, Tottenham, impressive win against Aston Villa, 4-0, I think. Is it me or Tottenham's having a good season? Like, it's just, I mean, I'm not feeling any negativity from Tottenham fans or anything. It kind of feels really good with this new coach. I don't know.
Well, the worst is over in terms of we Tottenham faithful, because there was that period in January when Bissouma got red carded and then went off to AFCON, when Son went off to the Asian Cup, when Van de Ven, their new central defender, went out with a hamstring and was gone for 2 months, and all of a sudden our entire spine was gone. Maddison was injured for a long time, 2 months. So when they all came back at the beginning of, well, mid-February, I was actually a little underwhelmed by their performances. I was like, well, where's this team that we saw over the first half of the year when they were just flying? Well, they were flying against Villa yesterday after a slow start. They got two goals up, and then Villa got a guy thrown off, and they just pummeled them. They didn't sit back at all. They went back right at them, which is the best way to protect a league in any sport, Santi. One of these days I'm going to write what amounts to a dissertation on this. When you stop trying to score, you are just inviting trouble. It's true in every sport, football, basketball, soccer. You can't sit on a lead. The way to sit on a lead is to try and score more. You may not score more, but you're not going to get scored upon. Tottenham did a wonderful job piling on Villa yesterday, and Villa's got to be wondering what the hell hit them.
Look at the schedule for Tottenham. You've probably seen this already. Starting April 20th, they play Man City, then the 27th, Arsenal, then Liverpool.
Yeah.
Three in a row. Wow. They got to spoil one club.
Well, I think they will get, I think they will get one point, a one win out of those three. They might get, you know, a win and a draw. And that's just selfishly, I think that's plenty to get them into fourth place and into the Champions League next year. But who gets the draw and who gets the loss will wreak havoc with who wins the league. I don't think Tottenham can win. They're too far behind. But they're a classy side and nobody wants to play them. And for whatever reason, they play Man City better than anybody in Britain. I'm not sure why, but I will say this. They don't sit back in two blocks of four. They go at Man City. They counter them. They run at them. And it's a little unnerving. It's been going on for the last 3 or 4 years, regardless of who the coach is, honestly, at Tottenham. So I don't know what's to be taken away from that, but it is a real thing. I think Pep would cop to it.
No one's talking about missing Harry Kane, by the way.
No, we've got all sorts of firepower up front, and Son has been a revelation. Madison is a delightful replacement. He's a proper number 10 that we really haven't had since Eriksen was here. And I love Kulishevsky on one side. And Brennan. What's his last name? He came from
Forest. Let me look it up.
It's terrible. I can see his face. Handsome.
I can't memorize every player, by the way.
Anyway, I
got to look at the app always.
They have plenty of attacking power. And, the other guy that came back that makes them deeper is Betancourt, the Uruguayan who came over with Conte from Italy. Brennan Johnson. Thank you. Brennan.
From Wales.
Brennan, without a D. Yeah, came from Forest. And they only sold him because he was a homegrown player. So they get all the credit for that sale and kept them in the good graces of the fair play rulings, which is another topic that we might want to talk about. But I love Tottenham's setup. They've got depth now, too, now that everyone's back. They're a very difficult side to play. And I can't wait to see them play the big three. They're not in the big three, but I can't wait to see them play. Someone was taunting me. Oh, they have to play Liverpool and Arsenal and Man City the last month. And I'm like, great. Can't wait.
This would be crazy. You haven't brought up Timo Werner. So far, 2 goals, 2 assists this season. Was it a good transfer signing?
It's okay. He scored yesterday what they call the vinegar strokes of that game. It was the game was over, and he scored another goal in the same way. The game had been decided. You know, the guys had trouble finding the net, so any goals I think will help him mentally. But he's not in my starting 11, and he's not my first striker off the bench, if you ask me. But good squad player, hell of a squad player.
Yeah, definitely interesting pickup. As the other one, the striker, Richarlison, he's out injured. Not as effective as we thought he would be, but we'll find out in the last month.
Well, let me interrupt you to say that Richarlison was, when Son was in Asia, Richarlison had like 7 goals in 9 matches. He was very, very useful to us. I don't think he's our best striker. I think that he's the first guy off the bench if he's healthy, not Timo Werner. But don't say anything bad about Richie. Richie played very well for us.
He's a good player. He's known to be the future Ronaldo, but I've not seen that yet. We'll find out in the next couple of weeks. Last night, the U.S. Women's won the Gold Cup, Women's Gold Cup, by defeating Brazil. Yes, Brazil, 1-0. How we still dominate the CONCACAF, at least.
Yeah, this was a combination CONMEBOL, CONCACAF, Gold Cup, just like the men's event that's coming up this summer. And, three cheers for that. That is the way we should be running these continental summer cups as often as possible. I realize CONMEBOL gets a lot of money for the Copa America, where they have it every 2 years. Pardon me. And CONCACAF also makes money off the Gold Cup. But when you combine them, boy, we have a critical mass of really good players. And that is true on the women's side as well. Not as true as the men's game. But Brazil is a quality side. Argentina is not bad. Colombia, who the U.S. women beat in the quarterfinal, is a rising team, a very feisty team. So just to recap, the U.S. lost to Mexico in the group stage, only the second time they've ever lost to a Mexican national team. The score was, fittingly, 2-0. And everyone said the sky was falling, and I will count myself among that group a little bit. The U.S. team is still trying to figure out who they are. They've got a new coach that hasn't even joined them yet. They got embarrassed at the last World Cup. They've shown an inability to beat good European sides. Does that sound familiar? We've got the same problem in the women's game as now we have on the men's side of things. And, we don't have to worry about that too much in the Gold Cup, the W Gold Cup. Brazil was decent. They weren't tremendous. We outworked them, and we just barely outskilled them. We're just playing a lot of kick and run soccer now. There's not a whole lot of great technical proficiency on display with the women's team these days. When you just finished watching a World Cup where there were 7 or 8 European sides that I thought put us to shame in that regard. But a great win for the squad. I think the squad is going to be much more comfortable and confident now for when Emma Hayes shows up in May.
Yes. And I want to give credit to Lindsay Horan, who scored the goal for the U.S. 46 minute in the first half. Really, really good performance by the U.S. We control the CONCACAF. And as Hal said, the new manager, Hayes, will start this summer in June. Looking forward to it. She's very popular in England. I've heard good things about her.
She's, by all accounts, the best women's manager in the game. You can't take that away from her. She's coaching Chelsea. She's very skilled. She's smart. I've heard her talk a lot. She does a lot of commentary on British football. She's very clever. I think she'll do a good job, but I think she also has to come in wide-eyed. This team is just not as technically skilled as the team she coaches at Chelsea. It's not as technically skilled as the England coach, as the England team that she watches at home. And I think France and Germany and the Netherlands and Spain and Sweden, who beat us, they're all better than us right now. That doesn't mean that it's going to be that way forever. But for about 12 years there, the U.S. women's national team just waltzed their way to title after title because these teams weren't as good. They've improved. We have to improve ourselves.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. Looking forward to the future for U.S. women's. And of course, U.S. men's Copa America, which we got to win, which we got to beat a big team. And everyone's talking about that, Hal. For the men's, we got to beat a big team. Uruguay, that's a big team. We should beat them, hopefully.
Well, the Uruguay game, my friend Pilgrim Tom pointed this out in a text exchange. I'm on a couple of soccer chats. The Uruguay game is important for a couple of reasons. It's the group game that is going to be the most difficult for the USMNT. And Uruguay is a world-class side. There's just no two ways about it. But if they lose that game or tie and don't finish first in the group, well, then it's going to be a very, very – they're going to get a very, very difficult draw in the quarterfinals. They're going to play a very good team. They could play Argentina. They could play Brazil. They could play Colombia. If they win the group, if they beat Uruguay, they've proved a point. But they also will probably win the group, which means they might play Panama or, Costa Rica or something like that. It's going to be a much cleaner access to the quarter – to the semifinals. Which is sort of people are talking about as a threshold that Berhalter has to achieve to keep his job or keep in the good graces of the Federation, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? But if they beat Uruguay in group play, they will almost certainly make the semifinals. So it means it's doubly important.
I really agree. It's only 3 months away, Hal. I cannot wait. This is a big tournament. And we'll see what happens. So we have a lot of options, by the way. I'm not sure if you've been following Norwich, but Josh Sargent has been scoring. Yes. I think he has like 11, 12 goals this season. He's a player that he has to be considered to play and start for the U.S.
Absolutely. A squad player. I would love to have Josh Sargent to bring off the bench or to shake things up and change the pace of a game. You could even start him and do change that pace with someone else. Funny how we're not talking about Gio Reyna, who can't get a game with Forrest, and apparently is shocked, sulking. again, Greg Berhalter was nearly run out of town on a rail for the way he dealt with Reyna. The way he dealt with Reyna seems like it made a lot of sense at the time because we're seeing this behavior over and over. There are other coaches who have a lot more credentials, let's just say, than Berhalter. Jeez, they're reacting the same way. Very interesting. Yeah. What do you think of that soccer Twitter?
Yeah, no coincidence or no conspiracy. Also, Matt Turner not getting the start at Nottingham.
No.
I don't know. Another red flag for the goalkeeping part for the U.S.
Well, I think that it's a larger sort of issue with Matt Turner. He does not play well with the ball at his feet. Says, oh, he came to the game late and he's made incredible strides. He's a world-class shot stopper, as they say. But he does not trust himself with the ball at his feet. His teammates don't trust him with the ball at his feet. So that's a problem in today's game. This is something that is expected of every keeper when you play out of the back. The new goal kick rules where you don't have to the ball does not have to leave the box in order to be in play. You can just sort of tap it to two center backs standing on either side of the keeper, and you have to have the balls to hold it and make the right pass and work your way out of the zone. That's just not what the U.S. keeper is good at. He's good at stopping shots. And he's very athletic. He does a great job distributing, but geez, Turner's just not good with the ball at his feet. And that's
everyone says that. It's incredible. Hopefully he'll.
You don't even have to say it. It just takes two seconds looking at him. He's just not comfortable.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, there you have it. We have, I did not plan a U.S. Men's talk like this, but I loved it. But it's okay. It's
anytime. Anytime, Santi.
Al is the U.S. Men's National Team expert. So
if you kick me off, I'm going to keep going until you tell me to stop.
Okay. Well, let's go to the UCL. Let's stick with soccer a bit. Champions League happened. It's been happening all month since February, and we got a couple of games going on this week. Porto at Arsenal, aggregate is 1-0 for Porto. How Arsenal has been, I think they're on an 8-game winning streak in the Premier League. So, and the game, they're like number two, comes to Arsenal at home. Who do you have for that matchup?
Well, how could you pick against Arsenal? They've been so good. But as a Tottenham fan, I love the fact that Porto nicked one at the end of that first leg. It was great. You could tell that Arteta had basically told his guys, look, don't go crazy. 0-0 is just fine on the road in the first leg of a Champions League home and home. And they did what they were supposed to do. Porto was not that dangerous, but then they give the goal up. And this is a very, very different situation now that they are facing. If they should give up a goal on a fluke, and if you watched Arsenal play yesterday or over the weekend, Ramsdale, who was in goal for them, gave up a terrible, terrible goal, holding the ball at his feet, not getting rid of it. Striker comes in and slide tackles, and boom, it's in the back of the net, tied the game 1-1. If something like that happens to Arsenal against Porto, now they're down 2-0, and they're behind on away goals. So they have to score 3 goals to win that tie. So anything can happen the way that that draw is poised right now. And needless to say, vamos Porto.
Porto wins. Unbelievable. You say that because you're a Tottenham supporter, aren't you?
Yeah, I hate Arsenal. And I'd love to see them suffer. And I know just enough Portuguese to say vamos.
That's beautiful.
The other thing, I played a lot of soccer with Portuguese. You don't need to say vamos. The word you need to know when you are playing with Portuguese is aqui.
Here.
I am here. Give it to me. Just don't hold your breath waiting for the ball to come, because it might never come.
The other matchup, Napoli at Barcelona. Aggregate is 1-1. Home advantage for Barcelona, of course. They're playing not at the Camp Nou. They're playing at the Olympic Stadium.
Oh.
Who do you have for that matchup?
I want to say Barcelona, but they've been so crazy this year. I can't imagine them losing at home, but I didn't know they were playing at the Olympic Stadium. Why?
They're remodeling their Camp Nou. I think they're making it state of the art, maybe to compete against the Madrid Stadium. Santiago Bernabéu, I think it's called. So, yeah, they're playing at Olympic Stadium, which is not bad. It's a really old stadium. I mean, I can't believe Michael Jordan walked in it, but yeah.
Huh. Well, I picked Barcelona. My editor, Esteban, is a big fan, and I want them to win. They've just been less than convincing. Every time I tune into some La Liga match, they look inert, which is hard to imagine because they have all sorts of great attacking pieces and the talent all over the field. But I'm hoping they win, because I think that would make for a much better draw in the next round.
Next match, aggregate as well, 1-1, PSV at Dortmund. I said that right, PSV, right?
PSV, good job.
There you go. Aggregate's 1-1. Who do you have for that round?
I'm going to go with the karma and say that PSV will win behind a goal from Malik Tillman with an assist from Ricardo Pepi. Serginho Dest is going to play a great game, and they're going to win. I have no idea whether they actually can win, but they are at home, and that match is within range. What are we looking at? Is it 1-1? Yeah.
1-1 aggregate. So.
Oh, PSV is at Dortmund. You listed at first Dortmund. There. I thought that they played the first match. No, but the way it was listed on the graphic had them first. Yeah. Can we talk quickly about this? This is interesting. I love
Go for it. Yeah.
In Europe, the home team is listed first.
Right.
And it's because it's all prepositional. It's Dortmund home to PSV. Whereas in this country, we say Pittsburgh at New England. So that threw me, but I think it'll be a tough match for PSV to win in Dortmund, but I'm still going to pick them because I love what they're doing there. I just wish Pepe was getting a little more time, but you know, they've got Nigel de Jong, who's a fantastic striker in his own right. And he's Dutch. And I think he's got more goals for PSV than anybody in the 21st century. So hard to see him, but Pepe will get a chance to come on if they need a goal. And I hope they go through.
And then we have a little bit later, Inter at Atletico. Inter's up 1-0 in this round. Who do you have for that one?
I like Atletico. Three goals they're going to score at home and win.
There you go. Atletico Madrid with Diego Simeone. And there is one match I'm trying to pull up. I forgot to write it down. I think we covered it all. Yep.
Well, those are the four, I think, that are coming up. Because, we talked about Inter. Yeah. I think PSG and PSG and Real Sociedad. I think that's already over.
Yeah, that's over. So the clubs that have made it to the quarterfinals is Manchester City, PSG, Bayern Munich, and Real Madrid. Bayern Munich is 10 points behind Bayern Leverkusen. How can you believe it? Harry Kane probably will not win the Bundesliga.
I think they are going to lose, and thank God they've won 11 in a row. How boring must that be to be a fan of the Bundesliga or a club therein and watch Bayern win every single title for 11 years and at least four times in the last decade. I've had conversations, or pundits have had conversations like the one we're having now. Oh, they could lose. Wow. And then they end up winning. Got it. For everyone's sake, I hope they do lose. I'm sure Tuchel is not concentrating on anything but the Champions League. It would be very fun for him to win the Champions League and then be fired.
Yeah, quite unbelievable. Harry Kane, no trophies yet. That was his goal, go to Bayern Munich to win a trophy. The Tottenham curse continues into Harry Kane in the Bundesliga, so we'll see. But they have a chance in the Champions League. Who knows? But
yes, they do.
I don't know if they'll win that one. Anyways, there you have it. UCL men's national team. U.S. wins soccer national team. And, of course, we talked about Liverpool drawing the whole Premier League. A lot going on. What is the best way to reach you online?
You can see my digits there. They're not digits. They're all letters. That is my blog, www.genzero.halphillips.net. It's also my handle on Instagram, just genzero.halphillips. Same for Threads.
There you have it. And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on Instagram and also Twitter /X. And we'll be looking at this week, like going on in NFL free agency, also college basketball. Things are closing in the NBA. We're just heading towards the playoff section for a lot of sports. So looking forward to the end of the year. How? Any closing words before we head off on this beautiful Monday here? I mean, here in Florida is really nice. I'm not sure about up there, but
it's a beautiful day here in Maine. Actually, the river is racing by. The winter melt is happening in the mountains, and the river's going crazy. I think we should congratulate ourselves, Santi, on talking about the Liverpool match and not once mentioning Jurgen Klopp. Well done.
I know. Well done. Had a huge hug with Pep Guardiola at the end.
He had a great hug.
It was multiple hugs. It was just that one big one. It's like two ones. Like, this is, we'll never see that again. Even though Pep, he did mention it at his press conference about a couple of days ago before the match. He's like, yeah, we'll probably meet each other eventually again. Who knows?
It's great. I just, you know, it is tangential. I'm glad that we did it. I have nothing but respect for Klopp, but I'll give him credit for putting those young guys out and getting away with it. But we did it.
I'll hope it's Xavi Alonso for next Liverpool coach. So we'll see.
You're the Liverpool freak. You can worry about who's coming next. I don't care.
Anyways, this was the update. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, Santi.